I've been trying to get back to 2 Chronicles. But every time I pray about it, and just I want to be sensitive to what the Lord wants to say. And granted, all the word is profitable for us, as we read in the scriptures, that it's all good, it's all right. But sometimes there's something that the Lord might want to say in particular. And this is where I've found myself now for a number of weeks, is praying and asking the Lord, what do you want to talk about? What do you want us to study through? What do you want to reveal? So we're going to take another side journey tonight. And you can open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 5 tonight. But I want to talk about something that I've been just really praying through, something that's been somewhat heavy on my heart, but mostly because I believe it's heavy on the Lord's heart. But let me just preface this with this memory of mine. When my kids were babies, and they're not babies anymore, but when they were babies, one of my favorite things to do was to feed them. I used to love to hold my kids when they were little and feed them their baby bottle, you know, and look into their eyes, and they'd look up at you, you know. It's just awesome. One of the sweetest things. I also did that with many of my grandkids. Just an awesome thing when kids are babies. We don't have babies anymore in our family. They're all big. They're all grown, you know, getting big, and so we don't feed them, obviously, that way anymore. But I loved that, and it was good, and it was right. At the time of their lives, that was perfect, to be fed with milk through a baby bottle. But if I still fed them with a baby bottle now, it would not seem right. It would be a shame, actually, and that would mean there's something wrong. There would be something wrong with them, and so that would be sad. It would be tragic, and we can see people today that what we would have to determine in their life is that they are stunted in their growth somewhat. We can see that sometimes when someone physically or mentally is in that condition, and it's sad because there's a process of growth that is healthy and important to us. That's part of life that's very important. But there's a huge tragedy that's in the church, and it's overlooked most of the time. And I believe our text is going to point that out and vividly show us and teach us something. And we should take consideration of this tonight, I think, because I believe the time is short for us. I believe there's so many things that we're consumed with and taken, you know, by and led astray in many regards, or led into busyness that ultimately, as I think we're going to see in just a short time, the unimportance of all the things that we do. Many of the things we're caught up in are not really that important. But I believe this issue is important, and it's the tragedy of not growing up spiritually. And I say tragedy because it is tragic. And it's important for us to understand what the writer of Hebrews here is talking about, because he's warning a group of people, and he's concerned for their spiritual condition, for their healthiness spiritually, because he sees them, in a sense, as being spiritually immature. So I want to take this a little bit at a time. There's only a few verses here that I want to cover, so we can kind of explore this. But let's look at verse 11, chapter 5 of Hebrews, verse 11. The writer has been explaining to the Hebrews, these are Jewish believers, about Melchizedek and the connection between Melchizedek and Jesus Christ. Now, this was an understanding that would take a little bit more thought and a little deeper way to go than people were commonly used to. And so when he's explaining it, he understands that, which is why in verse 11 he says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing." So his first declaration to this group of people he's writing to is that we have many things to say, but it's difficult. It's hard for us to say these things because you're dull of hearing. Now, this is a gigantic problem. It really is. This idea of being dull of hearing, and we're going to have to investigate this a little bit, because people have asked me, well, so how in the world would we know that we're, spiritually babies, in a sense? Well, you have to start by asking that question. Am I dull of hearing? Well, okay, what does that mean exactly? That is, are you unable to listen to the Word of God, receive from it, and, most importantly, act upon it? So acting upon God's word is really how you hear and are able to receive. And this is the first red flag. If you can't sit for God's teaching and receive from it and actually start applying things to your life that's changing your life, then you probably have that condition, at least somewhat. You're dull of hearing. You're not really taking it in. You're just listening to it. And dullness of hearing, or we would say slow of hearing in some regards, slow to learn would be another way to put this, kind of researching this out. Dull or slow here, that literal word means sluggish. Sluggish of hearing. You have sluggish ears if this is the case. And this was the condition of these people that the writer of Hebrews is addressing. And he knew it would happen over a period of time. Back in chapter 2, I'm just going to read it to you, but in this same letter, chapter 2 of Hebrews, verse 1, he writes to them, "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip," or that we would drift from them. And he goes on, "For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast in every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts from the Holy Spirit, according to his own will." So the writer of Hebrews already addressed them that there was a danger of drifting or slipping. If you're hearing but not applying, you've already started that process. Every time I hear the word but I don't apply it and I don't receive it into my life, then it basically stays out of my life. It stays away from my life. And thus, I'm starting to drift away from those things that I've heard. And so it starts with drifting, which will lead to doubting, vagueness. Sometimes you're very vague when you hear things in the Word. This is the result of this. And then comes dullness of hearing. I'm slow to hear. I'm sluggish when I hear the word, meaning I'm not moving very quickly on applying it. Now, I know so many people like this. Sometimes I'm one of them. Sometimes it's me. And I've addressed this in my own life. I can tell. My spiritual experience, so to speak, with the Lord should be vibrant, exciting, exhilarating, really. To know God speaking to you, wouldn't that be exciting? Well, sure. So what stops that from being exciting is not God. He didn't quit being exciting, folks. He didn't stop being exciting. He's still as exciting and exhilarating as he always is, but something's happening in me, and this is likely the condition, and I've had to address it many times. And I bring this up because time is short. I think we need to be busy about the Lord's business, but this is going to prevent that from happening. And so when you first got saved, if you can remember that far back, I remember first being saved and really not being able to get enough of the Word of God. I had like this appetite for the Word. It was alive. It was impacting. It was speaking directly into my life. You know how that works. But the newness, after a while, kind of wears off. And you start just kind of doing other things and maybe drifting a bit, wandering off a bit. Have you ever been there? Ever been in that condition? A little sluggish, a little slow of hearing. The Word's not really doing it for you anymore. It's like, I want to go to church, but you know, I just got these other things. And pretty soon you're making excuses for why you don't go. I know, I've done that. Not at this church, obviously. Making excuses. Well, I don't want to go to church today. But if you are, if you can kind of do a little personal inventory, a little examination, if you can kind of say, I think I am a little dull of hearing right now, then understand you're not alone. We all go through this. And I want to talk about the, not only the problem, but how we get through this, how we get back. Because hearing the Word of God and applying it, it's a big problem in many Christians' lives. I think that we hear a lot of things, you know, quoted, we read our devotions, you know, we take in Bible studies, but the writer of Hebrews here wants to share some deeper truths with these people that he's writing to, but they weren't able to take it in. So he's not able to really share those things. This is the twofold problem I see in the church commonly these days, is that there are people that don't want to hear anything deeper, and then there are pastors, sadly, that don't want to teach anything deeper. So it's basically pretty much surface kind of small talk, if you would, on a spiritual basis, instead of the deeper things. And the reason he brings this up, he continues on in verse 12, but he says, for a time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. The first principles literally means the ABCs. That's what he's saying. So you need to take in those first principles again. But it's at a time when you should actually be a teacher or one who shares the Word with others pretty regularly, in other words. That's the meaning here. You should be one that's actually expounding things to others that you know because you've been walking with the Lord long enough to be able to know that, but you're not even able to take in anything deeper, so you're certainly not going to share it. Now, are the basics not important? Are the simple things of the Word not important? Well, the milk here that he's describing literally means the gospel. So of course it's important. It's absolutely important. It's how we get saved. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. But is that all that I need? Because when you hear the gospel, you get saved, and that's awesome. But then what? And this is where I think a lot of people in the body of Christ all over the place, all over the earth, are living. Where? In what's next? I got saved. Now what? And that's where they live. Now what? It's a state of what now? What do we do now? And that's not the place you want to live. It's the place you want to get through, and knowing that the gospel is super important, very important. In fact, you know Alistair Begg? Do you ever listen to Alistair Begg? I love to hear the guy talk. You know, everything he says sounds intelligent, right? Because he's got that Scottish accent. It's very cool. But anyway, Alistair said, the plain things are the main things, and the main things are the plain things. Which means that, yes, the simple basic truths of the gospel are essential, but if you don't use what you're taught in even the simplest basic things, then you will lose it. It will start to fade away, and you won't have the grasp on spiritual things that you should by the time you're at the age you are in the Lord. And some people just, this is a lifestyle. And knowing the Word, I love knowing the Word, but knowing the Word will not cause you to grow in and of itself. Hearing the Word will not cause you to grow. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, but it's faith that's built, not growth that's built. So yes, you have faith made available to you through the Word of God, but if something else doesn't happen, that doesn't mean any growth's going to take place. And this is why you can meet somebody who knows verses and scripture like nobody's business, but they're still immature. Spiritually, they are not walking in a way that you would say, wow, that's a grown-up brother right there. You might say, that guy's got a baby bottle hanging out of his mouth. And it's because of this reason. And that's what happened to these Hebrews. They didn't grow. By now, he says, you should be teaching. Oh, you should be teaching, sharing with others. But instead, oh, you need another bottle. I need to give you another baby bottle full of milk. And just like in the physical condition of a person, if they never grew, it would be a shame. It's a shame when spiritually people don't grow in the Lord. So many Christians, they ought to be instructing others, but they can't even get past basic training. Not just in knowledge, in life, in their lifestyles. I take this partly on the reality of what churches tend to propagate. And it's one of those things that I think has plagued the church, and that is just, you know, if you just show up. And so we're going to take church attendance. You know, like, are we going to take church attendance, Pastor Matt? No. The point is, many churches do. They take church attendance. And it's like in Sunday school, you get a gold star or something if you've been in church. You know, I've had men quote this, man, I have not missed a Sunday in 35 years. As if, wow, that means, is that why you're coming to church? So you can get a perfect attendance mark? The point is, we've, many times, the church has relegated this to people that they somehow show up to church. That's all that really matters. Oh, and put money in the offering. That matters too. And apart from that, there is really nothing more. Churches just kind of function as a place for people to come, almost, to say, I went and I supported it. But meanwhile, the lifestyle of the people is like a bunch of kindergartners, right? They don't know how to live in their life as believers. They're simply kind of wandering around and waiting for the next church service. And again, I get it. Some don't want solid food. Some would rather not go any deeper. And I've talked to people about this. And I had a guy come up to me one time after a church service, and he said, okay, I'm not coming to church anymore. I said, oh, how come? He said, because you taught this that in your teaching today, you taught that if I hear something, I'm responsible for it. I said, yeah, that's true. Well, I'm not coming anymore because I don't want to be responsible for anything else. Meaning, he didn't want to hear anything else because what he was already hearing, he knew he wasn't doing. So rather than say, maybe I should buckle down and get with the Lord on this and start applying his word to my life, he just said, no, I'm not coming anymore. It just got too deep for him. Right then, it got too deep for him and he was done. So many people don't want that. I understand it. But some will seek out places where they just teach milk or the basics. And they'll stay there year after year after year. I've said before, it's not a popular sentiment, but there's a lot of gray-haired babies in the church. Been in church for years, 40 years, 35, 40 years. Still the same. If you run into a Christian, you haven't seen them in 10 or 15, 20 years, and they're the same, that's a shame. That's a shame, folks. Well, you haven't changed a bit. Not just looks. Your life, you're still the same person. That shouldn't be. So, why is it so important to grow into a more meaty diet or a more balanced diet spiritually, which is what he'll cover next here. And the reason is going to be plain here, but let's take this next couple of verses here and see what he's driving at. So he says in verse 12 there at the end, you have need of milk still and not of strong meat, he says, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Everyone that just simply drinks milk is unskillful in the word. It means simply this, you only know this much, which won't get you very far. In life, if you only know this much, okay, I'm saved, but that's about it. That's all I know. And nothing more than you're unskilled. And the reason it's important to move on to some meat, to have a spiritual steak or some spiritual roast beef, something that you have to use your teeth to chew on, it's because it takes you to another level, deepens you to where you can handle things that are different. In life, when things get harder, you need to be able to go deeper. If you haven't gone deeper, you won't go higher. It's like the roots of a tree. If they don't go down deep, that tree won't grow high. And if it tries to go high, it'll topple over. The point being that the word, the meat of the word, will equip you so you won't be overwhelmed by the storms of life. And I see this happening all the time. Something happens, and people that have been in the church, that have been in God's word perhaps even, but have never really grown past the milky part, when trials come, they just get overwhelmed. They get overcome. And it's hard to watch. It's hard to experience it with people. And, you know, you wouldn't think of ever letting a baby go out into a ship, into a stormy sea, would you? To face the trials that are on that ocean, right? You'd never put a baby on a boat and say, good luck. Because why? Because the baby is too immature, can't drive a boat, can't stand up and steer the boat, doesn't even know what that means, doesn't know anything about, doesn't know the first thing about navigating through a storm. And of course, the writer here is saying, I don't want you to just try and go through the storms of life as a baby, as a little baby. You're going to get overwhelmed. You're going to get beat up, right? So People have asked me this many times, so I'm just going to address it. What is milk? What does it mean to have the milk? Well, I explained it already. It's the basics. It's the gospel. It's Jesus did all this for you. He died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again, right? It's all that Jesus did. Everything he taught in the scriptures is wrapped up in this thing called milk. The meat of the word is what Jesus is doing for you. The meat is what he's doing now. He's in heaven. He has sent his spirit to this earth to be with us, to be in us, to be upon us. And the things that he's doing now for us and through us is what we call sanctification. Sanctification is where the meat is. That means what? It means I'm going further. I'm going deeper. And I will need some more chewy food, some more stuff to eat that's going to take me beyond being a child in my spiritual walk. We grow, folks, by what Jesus is doing in our lives presently. Our lives are being sanctified. Here's the problem, and this is what the writer's really driving at, that milk won't get you to a place of sanctification. It'll keep taking you back to the cross, which is great. I need to revisit the cross. We do that every time we take communion. That's awesome, remembering what Jesus did. But you can't just live on that alone. It's not that you won't be saved anymore, but you won't grow. So you won't be able to face things and deal with things in the same way that you would otherwise. And this is the problem. We begin with what he did for us, but we're continuing on by what he's doing for us. And there's a difference. He's done the salvation work. He's done that. I'm grateful for it. I'm saved by it. But he's doing a lot of other things, or at least he wants to do a lot of other things, which is where the meat comes in. And you know this truth. As a Christian, you're either going forward or you're going backwards. The misnomer of Christianity is that there's a neutral gear. And it's not true. A lot of people want to believe it exists, but there is no neutral in the Christian life. Forward, reverse. That's what you got. Going forward, or I'm going backward. No, I think I've just stayed the same, Pastor Matt, all these years. Nope. You've gone back. You've gone backwards. You can't have the neutral gear in the Christian life. Nothing in the Bible teaches that you can have that. So, we grow as Christians as Jesus Christ is working in us, changing us, molding us. This all comes from hearing the word, the deeper parts of the word, and applying them to our lives, doing what he says. You'll never outgrow milk, but you will not maintain your Christian life with only a diet of milk. You'll be weakened. You'll be stunted. And I enjoy milk still to this day. Some people hate milk. I love milk. I shouldn't drink too much of it. But I also like ribeye steak. Huh? I mean, when I didn't have teeth, fine, milk's okay. But when I got teeth, man, I explored a whole new reality of eating. And this is what is compared here. Spiritually, you're going to experience a whole new world of eating spiritually. You know, the Bible teaches that there's three forms, literally, of food for us. There's milk, the gospel. There's meat, the chewier, deeper truths of the word. And then there's manna, my daily bread, which is the daily portion for me, which God can speak into my life daily, personally. I need all three of these things to have a balanced diet so I can grow. And meat is essential for me to go deeper. And so, who remains a spiritual infant is simply, as he says in verse 13, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. That's it. That is the one who stays in the diet of milk only. Those who aren't skillful in the word of righteousness, that is, not having a real solid grasp on the truth of what Jesus Christ is doing presently. He is our righteousness. He is practically doing what he says he's going to do in me if I'm able to eat the meat. So, first thing you know is that Jesus died for you. But next, you know what Jesus is doing for me. That's the difference. So the writer here says, you know, take the word, take it all, and don't neglect what the God of your salvation is doing in you now. You know, can't take meat, then man, you better grow some teeth. Better start doing the simple things. So being a Christian is not so much about knowing you're saved as it is about knowing your Savior. People say, I know I'm saved. Okay, I believe you. Not my call. But listen, knowing you're saved is only the first step. Knowing your Savior is the lifelong, eternal relationship that needs to continue to be cultivated. So it's not just knowing the word, it's doing the word, right? It's applying the word. And it's not just Christ dying for you, it's Christ in you. I mean, all these things are the difference between what the milk and the meat represent. And if you understand the doctrines of Scripture, that is the truth about what the Bible says, if you understand the doctrines of Scripture, that's great. That would be awesome. But if you are not growing, it may be because you're not doing the simplest things of the word. So here's the jump or the leap from milk diet to meat diet. Here's the reason it hasn't happened if it hasn't. Because you're not doing the simple things of the milk that the word tells you to do. So it's a simple thing. Like the Lord says, hey, let's do this. And you just say, nope, and you ignore it. Okay. That alone is enough to stall you out for quite a while. And let me say this. Many times we have grown so insensitive to that, that the Lord could speak and we just simply act like he didn't say a thing oftentimes. It's not convenient or it's not something that I really feel like doing. And it may be that simple. You know, maybe the Lord just says, spend more time with me. And you say, oh, I'm busy. Okay. Then, you know, you're going to continue where you're at. So what's the answer? If I'm spiritually immature somewhat, if you're thinking that right now. Verse 14, watch what the writer says, and this is important. He says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So here's the link, here's the cue, here's the part that you can start praying in and thinking through. Those who understand the teaching and put it into practice are those that by use are exercised by it. So it's simple that you say, that's easy, easier said than done, however, we would say, right? So when you ask somebody, you know the word? And they say, yes, I know the word. I love God's word. Okay, next question, do you do God's word? Because if you did God's word, then you would be really growing and you'd be maturing. Using it is exercising it into your life. It means that it's like, here's the word coming at you, but if it's not used, then it doesn't get in. So in other words, you can say, yes, I'm hearing God's word, but you never open up. So you're never using it and being exercised by it. See, if you let the word in, it will exercise your senses. It will change who you are. Which is why if it's not let in, you're not changing. You're going to be the same. In 20 years, we'll see and go, boy, you haven't changed a bit. Wow, right? Amazing. You haven't changed one bit. He points out something, though, here that's really, really important at the end. He says, those that have by reason of use, have their senses exercised, then they can discern both good and evil. So not only do the immature or babes in Christ who can only have milk, not only does the trials of life, the storms of life overwhelm you, but you have no discernment. Because you just haven't grown, so you can't discern certain things. It doesn't mean you don't know what's right and wrong. There's a different word here. It's not that you don't know right and wrong, it's that you don't discern it. Well, what's the difference? Discerning it means I understand. Everybody knows what's right and wrong. You have a conscience. It's not conscience. It's discernment. It's spiritual discernment, knowing that this isn't right in the spiritual context. And I know this is right because I have a spiritual awareness, because I've grown, I've been exercised, and I know how to discern what's supposed to be and what's not. So, and this is important, because if you've experienced this or if you see this in people, don't, you know, this isn't for us to say, oh, you're just a baby, and judge them. This is for us to really take a look at where we're at from time to time and say, where am I? You know, I mean, what am I doing? And if people can't discern right and wrong, then they're babies. I'm sorry. If they don't discern what's good and evil, then they're babes. And I hear this from people. Listen, I talk to people, and sometimes the things people say, my hair on the back of my neck stands up. And I'm talking to Christians. And they'll say things like, well, listen to this, and what do you think about that? And I'm like, seriously? They're confused. They don't know if it's right or wrong. They don't know if it's sound or if it's just bizarre. And I think, okay, you need to grow. You need to grow up. Because if that's concerning you, or you don't understand the difference between this or that, you know, a baby... I noticed this because I had 3 kids and 12 grandkids. A baby will put almost anything into its mouth. You with me? I call it magnet mouth. It's like this period of time, babies take anything and it goes right to the mouth. It's like, this is how I know if something's real, right? That's a baby's doctrine. I need to take this thing, whatever it is, and put it in my mouth. So get the spiritual application. Babies will put just about anything in their mouth. Babies will put almost anything in their ears. This is the important part of this discussion, folks. Because some people will hear just anything. They allow almost anything. And then they wonder, is that true or is that right? But if we will feed on the Word of God and let it be applied, you know, one of the big things that I was attracted to when I first heard the Word of God taught with the empowering of the Holy Spirit, which just blew my mind, was how it was reaching inside of me, how the word was just so full of application. I'd never heard anything like it. My first experience with that was John Corson at Applegate when we first started going there. I was just in a state of awe every week. I'm like, what? Because there was so much that applied to me. And I kept looking around like, am I the only one getting this? Because I think he knows what I'm going through right now, right? And I hear this from you guys once in a while. So did somebody talk to you about this? Because you were talking right at me. I don't have a clue what you're going through, but the Holy Spirit knows. And I was being fed with applications personal to me. And it was affecting my life. And I started opening up myself to the Word. And I started growing. And my wife started growing. And we were growing together, and that's awesome. And we could talk about things, and we began to spiritually discern things that we weren't able to before, but we were being changed and knew right and wrong and knew sound doctrine versus false doctrine. And you say, man, you're just driving this home tonight. I am. I feel like this is so important for us right now, that the church needs to start growing and quit staying in the same place. Let's move on from some of the things that we're just hung up on and hung on right there. I'm just haven't moved in a decade. Some people would have to say, I haven't moved in ages. That's not okay. That's a tragedy. And it's impossible to grow as a Christian without God's word being applied to your life. And I don't care how involved you are in the church. I don't care if you're an elder or a deacon or if you've sat on multiple committees in different churches. It doesn't make any difference. I mean, at some point, you have to come to terms with the fact, you know, and ask yourself, am I growing? Am I applying what I'm hearing in the Word, right? The Word convicts me all the time. It's not a bad thing. In fact, I'll share this with you. I probably have before, but I pray for stronger conviction. And you're saying, what are you, crazy? I want to know. I want to hear. Is there something out of order in me, Lord? Is there something wrong? I want to know it. Convict me of it. Reveal it to me so I can lay it before you. And I don't want to stay in this place. If I've been in one place too long, folks, I start getting nervous. I say, well, you should just be content with where you are. Listen, this doesn't have anything with contentment. This has to do with wanting to grow in what God is saying and what he's revealing. This isn't, I shouldn't be content and staying put in my spiritual walk. The contentment that's being talked about when Paul brings that up and says, you know, godly contentment, right? It's godly contentment. In other words, I'm content with God. I'm not content with me. I have every confidence in God. I have no confidence in me. So I don't want to stay put. I want to keep going. I want to keep progressing and moving towards the Lord, right? It's sad when people have been saved for many years and continue to be kind of bottle fed in a sense. One way that I can catch myself, and maybe you've caught yourself, or certainly you can hear it sometimes in other people, but listen to how people talk. When my kids were babies, they didn't make much sense. They would say things I'm like, what? What did you say? Our oldest son, Jacob, when he was little, he was really cute. All our kids were cute. But Jacob, the firstborn, everything was kind of new with Jacob. Poor Jacob, he probably got the brunt of all the things, right? Because we didn't know what we were doing. But Jacob would hear things and then he'd get them wrong. You know what I mean? And then he'd come and say them and I'd be like, what? So he'd come and and push on me in the morning to wake up, right? And he'd say, "Wake up, Doc. Wake up, Doc." So I'd wake up and I said, "Jake, what are you saying? Wake up, Doc." And I didn't understand what he was saying until we were watching cartoons. And Bugs Bunny was on. And Jacob pointed to the screen and says, "Wake up, Doc." And what he was trying to say, he didn't know, was, "What's up, Doc? What's up, Doc?" But he was saying, "Wake up, Doc." But he was a baby. When you hear people talk, does it sound like baby talk? And what I mean by that is it really just pretty much the same thing over and over? It's like, and don't get me wrong, and please don't be offended, but understand, when people just say the same thing over and over again, it's like a broken record. It's immaturity. It's baby talk. Don't know how to say anything else. And again, I'm fine. I'll talk to you. Don't get me wrong. I'll talk. But listen, there's a point where you should desire to be able to talk in a deeper fashion, in a more broad fashion. There should be a way for you to communicate that's a little bit more engaging at some point. Are you with me? So some people, you can tell where they're at because what they say, you go, "Oh boy, it's like a baby. It's like a child." They're not completing sentences in a sense spiritually. It's just kind of going on it, and it's like, okay, I get it. But after 5 years, 10 years, can we talk about something else? Can we talk about some deeper things? Something, and again, don't get me wrong, I love babies. I love kids that are babies. I love spiritual babies. So does God. But listen to me. The writer of Hebrews is saying something really dramatic here and something that's super important. Do you have a desire to grow? Is that something you want? Do you want to be able to eat meat as well as milk? Do you want to have these things that God wants you to have? I do. I want it. And I can tell you honestly, there's been seasons in my life, again and again, where I've had to catch myself and kind of shake myself and say, "You've been in the same place too long." Maybe it's a tendency, maybe it's a sin that you've been just stuck on too long, and maybe that's it, because that certainly will affect the way that you grow or don't grow. The Lord will start with where you are. If it's simple, he'll start simple. And all he asks of us is, when it's something simple, just do that. Do that, and then do the next thing, and then do the next thing. And before you know it, you'll be taking this one step at a time, and you're going to grow. You won't be in the same place. Why? Because you walked out of it. You walked from where you were. How did that happen? When you took it in and obeyed and did what he said, you're going to move. So you won't be there anymore. You with me? It's walking in the Spirit, as the Bible puts it. I'm walking in the Spirit, so I won't be in the same place. Starts with one step. Just take that one step. Boom. What is it God's been telling you? What is it that he's been saying? Most of us probably, I'm guessing here, but most of us probably know exactly what that is without even thinking about it. Okay, I already know. He's been telling me this. He's been showing me that. He's been trying to get me to move over here. Stop doing that. You take that first step and you are ready for step two. and then step three, step four, step five. And before you know it, you're in a different time zone. You're in a different zip code. You moved out of that area and you're into a different area. And believe me, you can start smelling the steak. You're going to start smelling the roast beef, man, with au jus. I guess it's called au jus. Huh? Who calls it au jus? Not me. It was always au jus, right? So anyway, you can smell the food cooking, man, when you start walking away from where you're at. And next thing you know, you're starting to chew on all kinds of things that you never could before. You didn't even know they existed. If you're dull of hearing, do something. Don't stay there. And the reason is, folks, because the Lord wants to use you. He wants you to be part of what he's doing. But if you know the Lord, and I'm sure that you do, you understand that God can only use us to the degree we're willing. And growing is how we show God that we're willing. Well, what if I never grow? I mean, do I have to grow? Nope, you don't. God loves you. He'll always love you. You're going to heaven. No question, no problem there. But let me just warn you, storms in life will take you down. They'll take you down hard if you're staying in that condition. And you won't have the discernment. You'll be wondering, questioning things all the time that you should know fully and totally. You'll be questioning. You won't have that. And listen, like the writer of Hebrews here says, you won't be sharing and teaching others. You just won't. So what does that mean? It just means there's no real use. I mean, you're not doing anything, so God's not using you for anything because he can't. And this is why I call this the tragedy of not growing. Not growing up spiritually. I love this. You say, I don't like that. I didn't like this teaching at all. I didn't like it, man. It was not fun to sit and listen to having to grow. So what if I am a baby bottle drinker? What's it to you, right? Hey, listen. You can stay in that condition. You can stay put right there. I have nothing more to say other than this. It's not me that wants you to grow. It's the Lord. It's his voice, not mine. It's his word, not mine. He's saying it. Please, he's saying, please. Don't just stay in that place where you're drinking a baby bottle. Have some more. Have some more. Don't you hear the Lord always saying, do you want more? Let's do more. God is not the God of mundane or mediocre or whatever. He's the God of, let's go, man, let's do more. Let's be excited. Let's have life to the fullest. Jesus said, I came to give you life and life more abundant. He never says, yeah, I came so you'd be kind of bored, really. And, you know, never going to grow, really. You're just going to be like little babies all the time. Storms are going to take you down. And, hey, that's why I came. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. He came so we could be more than conquerors. So we could take this world by storm and storm the gates of hell with the power of the Holy Spirit. This is why we're here, folks. But don't you think that there has been a facade built over the church, a facade built over Christian spirituality where people are just thinking, this is it. That's it. That's all there is. I mean, come on, you go to church, you sit there, listen to this guy with a beard, and then you go home. That's it. That's what you do. That's about as spiritual as it gets. There's nothing really more than that. Well, that would be awful if all you could do is come and hear me. Talk about a tragedy. But if you hear the Lord and you let him in, you'll start changing things. And you'll start walking and taking steps. And before you know it, we're going to sit down to dinner, man. And we're not having baby bottle. Huh? We're going to have a full meal, a full diet. I had a guy come to church at Riverview one time who had been away for numbers of reasons why he couldn't be there. And he showed up on a Wednesday night at Riverview, or Thursday night, I guess it was then. We did Wednesdays here and Thursdays then. It was confusing then, still is. But he came on a Thursday night, and I remember my son Daniel saw him, and he hadn't been there in a while, and he went, "Hey, how you doing?" You know, and you know, Daniel's super friendly, welcoming, and he says, "Hey, how you doing? What are you doing here?" And the guy looked up, he said, "I came for a steak." And I thought, that's awesome. Certainly not directed at me, but at what the Lord would speak to him. And that's, he knew. He realized, I haven't been growing. I need some food. I need a steak, man. I need some meat. And hopefully you understand the importance of it and how you need it. But if you are in that place, please don't take this the wrong way. But every single day I hear from the Lord, I want you to grow. I want you to come further, come deeper. How deep does the Lord go? How high does he go? How wide does he go? Man, it's infinite. And I haven't even scratched the surface. There's so much more. I want it. Hopefully you do too. Let's pray it in. God, thank you for your word. I thank you for just the things, Lord, that you show us every day and how it's your desire for us to come further along with you, to be closer to you, to be more empowered by your Spirit, to be more not only knowledgeable of your word, but having it affecting us in our lives and changing us. And then you can use us in some perhaps deeper ways, some bigger ways. We would long for that. So tonight, Lord, as we come to the table and just by honoring you in this way, we know that this is a blessing for you. Jesus, you ask us to do that. And so we understand that this is in some ways the milk. It's the gospel that you gave your body and your blood for me. And I appreciate it so much that I will honor you with this. I will take the bread, take the cup, and remember, Jesus, that that's what you've done, because that's where it all begins. And as I walk through this life, I will never outgrow that truth, that milk, that gospel, but I will also include it with my other meal items, such as meat and other things that you're giving me to eat so I can grow. So tonight, we love you, God. We just express our gratitude for you. Help us to grow, Lord. Help us to get it. Pray that this was something that you would be able to use in our lives. And we pray that. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Communion is set for you. You can take that whenever you like.